Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio Nation, you are tuned in to, I guess, the second edition of The Cutting Room Floor for this week. I'm your host, LeVar, and normally I don't think we do more than one edition a week of The Cutting Room Floor, but so much stuff out this week, decided to go ahead and do two. And I'm also even going to do something special tonight because we're opening up for a second one. I'm also opening up the line, so if you are listening and you want to jump in on any topic, you can call me. The number to call in is 323-580-5600. Once again, it's 323-580-5600. So even if you're on the page and you actually see it, I think our number is there. And I'll say it one more time in case you didn't catch it the first couple of times. To call in, to jump on any topics or something that's on your mind, number is 323-580-5600. So now that I got all that housekeeping out of the way, I'll also tell you that I will be back tomorrow as well on the air with Eye on Hollywood. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about. We haven't met in a couple of weeks, so we're going to play a little catch-up tomorrow in terms of everything that's going on. What I do want to talk about, I guess, first things first tonight, is a story that I kind of put on our webpage. And for a lot of you who are also on my personal page, I put a story out there that, I don't know, I was a little disturbed by it. And I know, you know, we're not wanting to talk about what people do in their lives and what they actually do, but I want you to listen to a story here. And this involves actor Doug Hutchinson, who I'm going to say, just for the sake of saying it, he's 51 years old. And Doug was on Lost, and he was in The Green Mile. And E! Online reported the other day that Doug has married country singer Courtney Stodden in Las Vegas. Congratulations, right? But while it may not seem out of the ordinary, you have to wait for the story that gets a little better. Hutchinson, as I said, is 51. His girlfriend, but now wife, a mere 16 years old. No, I didn't stutter, and I didn't get the age wrong, and I did not, you know, I'm looking at it correctly, 16. And the couple provided a statement to E, and they said, in quote, "We're aware that our vast age difference is extremely controversial, but we're very much in love and want to get the message out there that true love can be ageless." Now, Pop Eater, another celebrity site, also reports that Stodden likely had permission from at least one of her parents because, according to Clark County, Nevada Marriage Bureau, both marriage license applicants must be at least 18 years of age, but minors below the age of 18 are able to obtain a license with the consent of a parent or legal guardian, reasoning that at least one of Stodden's parents approves of their daughter's May-December marriage. Now, in fact, Radar Online posted a statement from Stodden's father expressing support for the union. He said, quote, "Courtney is one of the most level-headed girls out there, and I'm not just saying that because she's my daughter. Doug is the nicest man I've ever met in my life, and they tied the knot on May 20th. And CelebBuzz has more information about her, as well as some photos and even one of her music videos. I guess the question that kind of rises out there is that, you know, and a question I posed on Facebook is whether this situation's real, fake, or just kind of plain gross. Because, you know, when you think about it, I don't know, if I'm this dad, first of all, there is no way in hell. And I think, you know, when I'm going this route, you know how serious it is. And I would let my 16-year-old marry a 51-year-old. I don't care if George Clooney all of a sudden decided to get married and he had eyes on my 16-year-old daughter. I don't even care if you, you know, were an actor or did this or did that. There's no way. Now, the part of me off the bat smells a rat here. I don't know if this is just something for them to kind of, I guess, for both of them to boost their career, even though I'm not sure what to kind of boost. But I don't know. It kind of sickens me that even a parent, any parent, would allow for that to kind of happen, to let their child marry someone that much older. And if you, and I'm not sure if you've seen the photos, but this young lady, they say she's 16. Looks a little scary when you look at the photos, because she does not look 16. I'm sorry, but I'm going to be the first to admit it out there. I mean, she does not have the body nor face of a 16-year-old. She looks more like late 20s, almost 30. I'll put it this way. She kind of looks like a more full-figured, and I'm going to use that term loosely. She's not big, but I'm going to say full-figured, voluptuous, more voluptuous version of Julianne Hough to me. And they were showing the videos of this young lady, and I had to keep in mind, I said, she's only 16. I was like, there's no way. That was the first thing on my mind. And I know everyone that's been talking about this today have all said the same thing. There's no way that this lady looks 16. But according to our resources and according to the parents and everybody else involved, she is 16. So I guess, you know, is it, you know, we look at Hugh Hefner and what he does, but, of course, those are with girls who are over 20. You know, they're all a little older. They know better, you know. I look at that differently, you know, even though it's a 60-year difference. But I look at that one a little differently because they're adults, you know. This is a 16-year-old girl. I mean, when he was just turning, you know, mid-30s, around my age, you know, she was just born. I don't think you're going to hear about me in the next few years dating someone that was just born this year. Ain't going to happen. We'll cover a little bit more of it tomorrow on Eye on Hollywood briefly. I just wanted to kind of put that story out there. Amazing. I guess I've never ceased to amaze at different stories, but I guess it's no different than what goes on in other countries where they marry at 12 or 13 or I don't know, but decision is left to you all on that one. But, yeah, if you've seen a young lady, she certainly does not look the age that is being stated. I want to also this week kind of, I guess, I don't know, I'm a little tired on this, but I'm going to give big props to Hugh Hefner. And this is another story that we were going to talk about last week on Isle of Hollywood, didn't. But Hugh Hefner, showing a lot of class, refused to take back the engagement ring he gave to his ex-fiancée, Crystal Harris. Last week, if you recall, the Playboy centerfold broke up with him just 5 days before their wedding. Now, Radar Online is reporting that Harris returned to the Playboy mansion on Sunday night to return the ring, but the Playboy founder told her to keep the 3-carat $90,000 ring. And if that wasn't enough, he also let his runaway bride keep the Bentley he gave her. He did take back their King Charles dog, Charlie. Harris told Radar Online about her decision to return the ring. She says, quote, it was the right thing to do. You think? The right thing to do would not have been to have this whole thing as a charade, knowing that you weren't going to go through with it. But I think I know why she did it. And it was after she knew she was going to get on the cover of Playboy, she knew then that could kind of boost her career and she can do different things. And you know, first of all, Hugh, I would say you were, clearly misled into thinking that this young lady was going to marry you, let alone let it be a long-range marriage. What's going to happen? It just wasn't. But don't worry about that, though. He didn't wallow too long in pity before he found a rebound girl. This January 2011, Anna Sophia Berglund. And on Twitter early Monday, Hefner told his fans that getting left so close to the altar was actually a good thing. He says, and quote, after all is said and done, staying single is probably the best. I think I just missed a bullet. Think? Oh, you. But I think that's pretty nice. Actually, I think if I was him, I probably would have took back the ring and the Bentley and the dog and told her where to go. But you got a little money to spend, and when you're here after, I guess it really doesn't matter. It's all water under the bridge. But I really don't know where this would. I'm pretty sure Crystal will get her, you know, her reality shows or TV shows or whatever. But I people like that, their careers, during their 15 minutes of fame doesn't last long. Just saying. I saw an interesting study in the Huffington Post, and there is a new Harris Interactive study out. Now, I'm not sure about you, and I'm going to ask you, are you happy? The reason I'm going to ask that is because despite high unemployment and a national foreclosure crisis, most Americans still feel happy. The poll, which was conducted in mid-May, asked 2,184 U.S. adults if they agree with both positive statements such as, quote, my relationships with friends bring me happiness, or with negative statements such as, quote, my work is frustrating. Now, because most people agree with the positive statements and disagree with the negative ones, the survey found that 83% of Americans feel, quote, very happy or somewhat happy. 33% and 50% respectively, 17% of the respondents were found to be, quote, not happy. Now, based on results from previous years, it would appear that the Great Recession has had little impact on the happiness of Americans. Now, since last year, the percentage of those who felt, quote, very happy has remained the same at 33%. And during the 2008 to 2009 height of the recession, an even higher percentage said that they were, quote, very happy at 35%. But it's not the poorest Americans that are least happy. When broken down by income groups, I knew that's where you were going. I knew you were all saying, well, you know, that's probably, you know, those who are poor are, you know, saying that they're not happy. You'd be surprised. Those earning between $75,000 and $99,999 were least satisfied, with only 29% found to be very happy. Those making the least under $34,499 were actually the third happiest income bracket out of five. People earning $100,000 or more yearly were the happiest, with 37% feeling very happy. Now, the findings lend support to an article by economists Daniel Kahneman and Alan B. Kruger, which appeared in Science magazine in 2006, in which they said, quote, people with above-average income are relatively satisfied with their lives, but are barely happier than others in moment-to-moment experience. They tend to be more tense, do not spend more time in particularly enjoyable activities. Still, despite the status of happiness, Americans are stressing over their finances more than ever. Well, no stuff. 68% of respondents agreed with that statement, and one said that I frequently worry about my financial situation. The highest percentage of any year the survey was first taken since 2008, only 30% disagreed. So I guess depending on where you're at and at which stage you're at, you're either happy or you're sad or you're not, but all I know is this. We're all making money, we're all happy. We're not making money, we're not happy. Everything else will work itself out. Am I right? I think so. I'm taking a look at what could possibly be the hottest Christmas gift. Now, I was playing around with this, and it was actually on Yahoo, but I'm going to give you the link here in a second. But I'm going to ask all of you, and I know this is what happens. We go out and we take a picture, and for those of you who still use your camera instead of your phone, comes the question, have you ever taken a picture that would have been great if only it were in focus? You know, of course you have. And so have I countless times. But those days may soon be past all of us. There is talk of the introduction of a product called Lito, which is an entirely new kind of camera that allows users to completely change the focus of a picture after the shutter clicks. And according to the website All Things D, the next generation camera will be available before the end of the year. Now, the secret behind that LiDAR camera is a new type of sensor that gathers much more information about the light coming into the camera than the sensors found on all of the types of digital cameras. So rather than record a finite amount of information about the light in the photograph, as is the case with other camera sensors, what the LiDAR sensor does is record the entire light field, which, you know, getting into all the science part of it, and I feel like my science teacher, so allow me to wear a short sleeve shirt with the pocket protector. The entire light field, which is made up of all the light rays in the scene. So what it does is that this includes the color, intensity, and direction of the rays to the light. Other cameras just simply record all the light as a single amount of light. And their sensor sensitivity to the light also makes it possible to take photos in very low light conditions without the need of a flash. It also makes it possible to take 3D-like photographs with only a single lens and without the need for glasses to see the immersive effects. And if you go to the website on Yahoo that has the article, it's an awesome thing because it gives you a chance to take the clicker and say, for example, there's a picture in the foreground. And you look in the background, you know, normally how it's kind of blurry. And they give an example through all the stuff that I just kind of blew through and made you now more sleepier than ever. But you can go to the background and click on it, and it will clear it up, which is amazing. Because how many times if you, say, taking a picture and there was something in the background or a nice cityscape in the background, and you took it, but the background came out kind of blurry. Now you can click on that, correct it, and everything comes out clear. And that's how awesome that this camera is. Now, I do believe that if you go to Lytro, that's L-Y-T-R-O, Lytro, I'm sorry, Lytro.com, you can see, like, different examples of how to work with that. And they are saying that this is going to be one of the hottest things once it comes out later this year, whenever it comes out, that it's going to be something that's just going to be flying off the store shelves. And I know they said it's already gotten like a huge buzz on Twitter with all of its followers. And like I said, I was playing around with it on Yahoo, and it's an amazing thing. So I'm going to put it out there for you technology lovers like me. And definitely, I know stocks for it, and I forgot what company it was under. I think it actually finished up. So if you want to get on the trend, definitely jump the train on that one right now. Another funny story that I found, one thing that I see from everybody at this point in time, everybody's traveling. And we all know how frustrating it is when the airline loses luggage. And so this guy, his name is Cy Hayes from England. And I love the fact that we now have YouTube and, you know, Daily Motion or whatever we have to put videos on, because with the advent of the internet media, as it were, we can all go to the internet and complain. We can go to Facebook and complain to our friends. We can go, you know, MySpace if you still have one, to complain. Or we can go to specialized websites and complain about customer service. So let me tell you what Cy did. Cy, who flew from England, from London to Minneapolis this week, when he finally got his luggage back after 4 days, he says he received more than what he had packed. So in a video he posted to YouTube, he goes through the contents of his bag on camera one by one. And he says, in a quote, like, we also have a pair of sleeping shorts, my pajamas, damp to the touch like somebody left these out in the rain and smell like pee. Yeah, that's right. According to him, someone or something used his luggage as a toilet. He especially laments the sullying of his, quote, work trousers. He said someone also stole his aftershave and put a toothpaste inside the suitcase. And the video has gone viral, receiving nearly 200,000 views in just over a day. In a statement, Delta said, quote, if anything happened outside normal procedures, it's unacceptable and will be closely reviewed. The airline office also gave Hayes a free first-class ticket back to England. That comes just 2 weeks after outrage over a video posted by frustrated soldiers returning from Afghanistan who had to pay the airline extra baggage fees for military equipment. In response to that incident, Delta changed its luggage policy for military personnel. which is kind of sad they had to do that right off the bat, because, you know, I mean, if I'm seeing military personnel coming back from combat, I wouldn't even charge them for the ticket home. You're out there defending our country. Are you going to charge them for one fly? And then on top of that, charge them for, you know, their weaponry? What a shame. If any of you airline carriers out there that do that, for shame. If anybody hears about that, you let me know, and we'll definitely put that story out there. And so another thing I kind of had was an interesting story, too. Fellas, how much are you willing to pay to look good? Think about that for a second, and then I'm going to tell you. There's a company now out. It's called the Zafiro Company, and they have what's called the Zafiro Iridium Razor. And it has sapphire blades and a handle made primarily from iridium, which is one of the rarest and strongest metals in existence. And it'll last you for a decade. Guess how much that razor is going to cost you? Now, you know, you think about it. Now, the most popular razors out there is Gillette Fusion, which I went to the store, and that thing is uber expensive. It's not to make me just stick to the plastic stuff and just roll from there. But the cost of this razor, I kid you not, $100,000. You better hurry up and place an order if you want one, and if you got $100,000 to spend, hurry up and buy one, because only 99 of those razors are being made. Now, the limited availability and cost is mainly due to the fact that iridium, and I'm going to get this wrong, so you science majors, please don't call me and be like, yeah, you got it wrong. Yeah. Once the crew is used to craft a tool's handle, it's extremely rare, 10 times more rare than platinum, according to Sephiro. It is a material which is primarily used in, quote, the aerospace industry, for components such as rocket engines, where durability is critical. Of course, the iridium handle isn't the only thing contributing to the particular tool of limited availability and cost. Its solid white sapphire blades, while extremely sharp, hypoallergenic, and just about impervious to oxidation and corrosion, certainly don't help keep the prices reasonable. And, like I said, only 99 of you. And according to them, it will supposedly last you for a decade. During that time, the Zafiro will provide free servicing, professional cleaning, and resharpening if necessary. Now, I think if they were going to tell me that the cost of that razor was probably going to be about $1,000 or $2,000, I actually would take them up on that offer. Because if you think about it, guys, a razor, a good razor, is really going to cost you now about close to $30. And the blades and all the replacement stuff is going to cost you about the price of a razor. Over the span of a decade, if you replace it, say, every 3 to 5 months or every 6 months, you pretty much figure you're going to be spending a lot of money. Now, I'm not a mathematician, but I'm figuring somewhere in there per year you're probably going to be spending $150. Now, if you told me about $1,000 that thing was going to cost you, I'd tell you, go ahead, guys, but $100,000... If you got money like that, I need sponsors. So, I mean, if you want to sponsor me instead of paying for $100,000, glad to have you. And then, I guess one more story here, because we only got a couple more minutes. But a surprising study out, and this is from Life Science senior writer Stephanie Pappas, because I always only give credit, and it's on LifeScience.com. And she says, and quote, dump the stereotype of the manly commitment phobe. A new study finds that not only do men often say, I love you first in relationships. Now, I'm going to rewind. Not only do men often say, I love you first in relationships, they're often happier than women when they hear the three little words said to them. Women, are you listening? Guys, are you listening? The bigger happiness boost comes when a woman confesses her love prior to the couple having sex. And researchers are reporting that in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology. From an evolutionary perspective in which men value the opportunity to reproduce and women value commitment to raise offspring, the findings make sense, researchers wrote.
Men may prefer a pre-sex confession because it comes with the promise of getting some action in the near future. Women, on the other hand, will prefer the post-sex confession because it means the sex comes with a commitment. So the researchers recruited 45 students and other passerby at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology and asked them whether they thought men or women said, I love you first, or often in relationships. 64% said women were most likely to drop the L word first. On average, the respondents predicted women would say, I love you, 23 days before men. In fact, the researchers found after surveying about 100 undergraduates, 47 heterosexual couples of all ages, between 61% and 70% of people said that men had said, I love you first in their past or current relationship. On average, men considered saying, I love you, 42 days before women did, suggesting that the difference was not just based on women waiting for men to make the first move. Further study showed that when asked to imagine a scenario in which their girlfriend said, I love you, or scenario, men reported the biggest imagined happiness boost if the confession came before the two had ever had sex. After sex, men reported a slightly smaller happiness boost when the confession was made. Now, women, in comparison, were less impressed with pre-sex confessions, but became significantly happier if the I love you came after the couple started having sex. So now what you're telling me is that once we have sex, then I can say I love you. But if I said it before then, it's not good enough. That's a dangerous precedent. Taking a look at the weekend box office, they figure one out tomorrow. A couple of movies and then one documentary. Nothing good. We're actually almost heading into the major part of the summer blockbuster season, and we'll talk a lot more about that on Eye on Hollywood. But coming out tomorrow, a documentary, actually it's one I would actually be interested in. It's called Conan O'Brien Can't Stop. I guess it was when they traveled with Conan on his tour that he did before he started his talk show on TBS last summer. And I'm not sure if a lot of you had a chance to catch it, but if you do, then one of the best, I think, commencement speeches I've heard in quite a long time. Conan O'Brien gave a speech, I forgot exactly where, but he gave a speech, and graduation speech. It's on YouTube. It's gotten a ton of hits. It is a funny but yet touching commencement speech that I think everybody should listen to, especially those who are afraid to fail. And who better than to tell you not to be afraid of it than Conan O'Brien after everything that he's been through. If you haven't had a chance to catch it, definitely listen to it. I know I think I posted it on my personal page, but I'll post it on our other page on Blog Talk Radio, News and Comment Network, LeVar Evans. And by the way, that's where you can catch us with all of the schedules and everything else that's kind of going on. But also out the animation movie Cars 2 and the comedy Bad Teacher with Cameron Diaz and Justin Timberlake, who we're going to get really, probably, quote-unquote, sick of in the next couple of weeks because he's got a couple other projects coming out. But that is out in the movie theaters. But I do want to thank everybody for listening in tonight. And like I said, tomorrow we will be back on the air with Eye on Hollywood. And you can stay tuned to our website with all the details about tomorrow's show. And in the meantime, if you do have any questions or comments or anything else that you want to share, feel free to do so on our page. And we're always looking for story ideas. So if you know someone or if you know a good story idea that we can do and you know the good subject matter experts that we can talk to, definitely let me know. And like I said, we are always looking for new shows to do and things to kind of edge around. I'm even looking into maybe even doing an Ask LeVar section. So there's still a lot of things down the highway there. But like I said, as always, thank you so much for listening. Have a great evening, everybody, and we will see you next with Eye on Hollywood.